I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran. And this is Radio versus the Martians.
Kirby, one of the things we talked about last time was reality television.
Oh, yeah.
And I know something that you were a big fan of is the show 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, yeah.
At the time we were talking about that, I didn't realize that I had already seen some YouTube clips of that show.
Which ones? Who was in it?
I saw, you'll have to explain all of this because I am still confused. So there was this middle-aged man who... It's hard to determine how tall he was, but he looked like he had been compressed in a gravity chamber.
Oh, yeah, Ed.
Okay, you immediately know. He looked like a Ram Man from Masters of the Universe, where he just did not have a neck. His head just went directly into his shoulders.
Yeah.
He was matched up with this girl, I believe, from the Philippines,
mm-hmm.
who was very chill.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely... wanted to have an opportunity to live in a richer country than she lived. Her dad was a super chill guy who lived in this village, like in a very rural area.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed shows up and as the worst kind of ugly American, disrespects her culture and her dad.
Is sweaty,
is way too pushy in ways that I'm going to say, speaking as a guy who looks a bit like a giant thumb, I know that I can't act. I'm not Brad Pitt, and even less so. But I was just like, holy shit. Does this guy know what he looks like on television? Does he know how he comes across? Because this ain't good. So what the hell did I... What is... Just to get to the bottom. What is 90 Day Fiancé? What is this show? What was I watching? And who was this terrible person?
Oh my gosh. He's actually one of the absolute worst people on the show. He has... So that was his first season that he was on.
Oh God, he came back?
Oh yeah. So his trajectory is him and that girl, Rose... not together anymore. She actually went on to become a baker and seems to be doing very well for herself. So he was on one of the spinoffs. It's like the relationship doesn't work out. So they're like dating again. So he was on that. And then he was with this girl who was a server at a restaurant he frequented, who is way younger than him.
Oh, no.
And her name is Liz, and she's like a nothing person. That's really mean to say, but she has like no personality. And so they were on that for like two seasons. They kept like breaking up and getting back together. And now there's a new series called Last Resort, where the couples go to a resort to work on their issues. However, last I heard, Ed and Liz did get married.
Wow.
On Joe's birthday.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Yeah, I know. I was so excited about it. He's really like a lot of the women talk about how he makes comments about like their weight and is just like really not nice to them. He uses his money as a way to control them. Mm. He's always going for women who are way younger than him when he needs to like stay in his lane. And he like kind of has this like air of like, I'm the funny guy. Sort of thing, but really he's just, you know, not funny and really awful to women and doesn't see them as people.
Does he have a lot of money?
I don't know.
Because I'm trying to figure out, I see just a little clip of this guy and I have to wonder why somebody would even finish a date with him. Why would they stick around to even the check coming at a restaurant? Why wouldn't you, after having conversation with this guy, go, wow, you're really unpleasant. You disrespect me as a human being. You're not likable. You look like a thumb.
Well, he is. I mean, he does like he's like kind of a jokester, right? So he'll go and he'll like make jokes about himself. Like one of the seasons, he like is like, I dress up as Elvis and then go do like a fun thing. So, you know, he's like, I'm a fun guy. Come hang out with me. And I think that the more you get to know him, though, the worse and worse he gets. Like he's just like a terror to his the people he's in relationships with.
I have to imagine that the maybe one of the potential answers to that question is that because it's on the show and because the people want to be like, well, at least I want to give it a try.
Yeah.
They're be a lot less likely to just like cut off halfway like you would in real life, right? Where you just be like, fuck this person.
But I mean, if you still want to be on TV, a guaranteed way to know that you'll get to stay on TV is if you throw a drink in his face.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And everybody will be like, yeah, yeah, you go. And then, you know, then they get back together with him and you're just like, what are you doing?
Why are these people together in the first place? Who applies for this show? Who introduces people to each other? What is this?
It's always relationships that have already been established. Okay. Like, it's not like the show hooks them up or anything. It's like they are in a relationship. Sometimes people are coming to America. Sometimes people are going outside of America. Sometimes it's like they're preparing to have them come to America.
Oh, wait, is this like a green card thing?
Sometimes.
Pairing up people that are in America and outside America, potentially for them to get married.
Well, it's all about getting married because
obviously
they want to be together.
But is the extra spin on this of it being like they're a 90-day fiancé because you need 90 days before you can apply for a green card? Is
that
what
no.
it is?
When they come to apply for the green card or like the it's like a fiancé visa. So you have 90 days to get married from the time you get in.
Okay,
otherwise, they will be removed from the country.
There we go.
So,
there we go. Okay.
And a lot of times it's like kind of the first time these couples are like experiencing life together. Like in a real kind of way, because, you know, it's like someone visiting someone in like the Caribbean and it's beautiful and it's a vacation. So everything's good. But then when they come here, it's like, okay, well, I have to go to work.
Real life intrudes on it. It's no longer.
I have to live with this person.
I have to. Oh, my God. This is what it's like.
So these are like internet relationships before this is the first time that they're meeting.
Yeah. I mean, it really depends. Some of them are internet relationships, like people sign up for like international dating sites or whatever. And there was a couple that they did like international meetup sort of thing. So he traveled a lot. She traveled a lot. So they would just like meet up in different places and then they start a relationship. Other people like the cruise is a big one. I went on a cruise and I fell in love with the busboy or something kind of thing. So it really depends on the couple and where they've been in their life. Mm. I mean, there's just like so many seasons and so many spinoffs and stuff. It's like you can't like narrow it down to one thing.
Like how long has this show been on?
Let's see. They just started season 10 of OG 90 Day. So yeah, 10 years.
This opens up a really interesting question, which is about this, which is it almost exclusively American men and foreign women?
No,
okay.
Not at all.
Because my stereotype is, you won't even necessarily call them incels. You just like, kind of just like loserish guys who have some personality flaw that makes it so it's almost impossible for them to actually find a partner where that they live. Mm-hmm. And so like the only thing they could do is essentially buy themselves a possible wife.
Yeah.
Right?
And I worry that there is that touch of imperialism that can goes into it is that this person is in a poor country and wants to not live there. And that poor country is in some part poor because of American intervention.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So to escape that poverty created by Americans, they have to fuck a repulsive American. There's something in that that is just downright dystopian. It's like fucking Squid Game.
You know, sometimes, though, like there's a couples and they're like more in the like earlier seasons because now it's all about getting on to 90 Day and then getting a bunch of followers on Instagram and then starting an OnlyFans. So, yeah, that's the trajectory now. But before it was like there were a couple people, you know, it's like there's one in particular. I think she was from like Russia or something. She had like two kids and there was this guy who was like a nothing guy. She didn't really have a personality either. And they just like found each other. And I was like, this guy just wants someone to come home to. And she just wants somewhere to live with her kids that's safe.
Hmm.
And I was like, you know what? If that's their contract or what, I'm sure they care about each other. Then that's fine. Like they didn't have any problems. They were just like, okay, this is it now. And they both seem happy about it.
You're making me more and more curious about this every time. What percentage of these people do you believe feel actual love for each other? And how much of it is just like, this is what I'm going to settle for because of this convenient arrangement?
I want to live in a country that isn't being heavily sanctioned.
like, from your perspective, I mean, obviously, it's up to you as the viewer. You're the judge. You don't know.
Yeah.
You can only kind of guess what they're...
Oh, you know what? I got to be honest. I would say probably, I mean, it really depends.
Like less than 10%, more than 10%?
Oh, definitely more than 10%. Okay. I would say like it might be like a little bit more than 50-50, like okay. the favor being on people who are actually like in love and wanting to be with okay. each other. The drama comes with them actually having to like live with each other and like sure. deal with the consequences of their actions.
Because I get coming back to that Ed guy. Is that, does he come across better in text? Is that what was happening? Because it seems like he can't go 5 minutes without the mask falling off and seeing a demon underneath.
He is, oh my gosh. Did you, okay, so the clip that you saw, mm-hmm. was it when he was taking a shower and there was a rat dying right next to him?
Yeah, it felt like a metaphor. It was him being really shitty to his fiance's dad, who seemed yeah. like a really chill guy. He was a guy who he... is not interested at trying anything outside of his incredibly narrow comfort zone. And he's terrified that other countries might not look exactly like the United States. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, they don't have a lot of money. And the reason they don't have a lot of money is inextricably tied, Ed, to why she's still putting up with you.
Yeah.
And then if that clearly wasn't an issue, she would have told you off a long time ago that she's definitely someone who can do better than you.
Oh, yeah. And she did. So that's good.
Oh.
Yeah. She's, like I said, she's doing pretty good for herself. She had, I think another thing that kind of fell into that is she had a son, too, mm-hmm. that I think she wanted a better life for, that she was trying to, like, I don't know. I don't know what was with them. She was repulsed by him the second she saw him in person. He lied about how tall he was to her. He was like,
how tall is he? If I just saw a body shot, I would say 5'4".
Yeah, I think that's how tall he is. I think he's told her that he was like 5'9" or 7" or something.
I
like
think not... he's from a planet with high gravity.
Yeah,
it's very strange because he's so arrogant and dismissive. I know what it is like to be a guy who's got to get by on your personality. There's maybe somebody for everyone, but I don't know if there's somebody for Ed, because Ed is one of those guys that wants to perpetually date a 20-year-old, even though he's clearly in middle age, even though clearly he's so sweaty all the time that he looks like a glazed ham, that he's so casually and callously rude and dismissive of other people all the time that he's so uninterested
yeah.
in what anyone else has to say. He doesn't want to learn anything, that I just kind of say, is he some kind of a tech billionaire? Because it just seems like I think that even if you're just wanting the escape from a country that may be in a bad situation, you can still do a lot better in terms of people that want to take you in.
Yeah. It's also weird too, because it's interesting to see the way the personalities clash, too. Like, for example, they actually got their own spinoff, which was the best idea. The Family Chantel, which is this girl named Chantel and this guy named Pedro. And he was from the DR. And their families fought so hard constantly. And they were like, no, we're in love. And Chantel is the most beautiful person who ever lived. She is so gorgeous. And I don't think she's that smart, but she just... she is like gorgeous. She is a nurse, like, you know, they bought a house together and stuff. But the second his 5 years hit, which is when you can get your own green card and you don't have to be married anymore, he was out of there. And so it was just like, wow, this couple seemed to like they would laugh together. They had like problems, obviously, but like they seemed to really kind of care about each other. And it was just, it was so weird that the second he could get out, he was like, I'm gone. And I'm just going to bring my whole family here now that I can without you and all of this stuff. So it's hard to tell.
The idea of this just being, I mean, I'm more and more intrigued by it as we keep going along. But the mirror into the idea of like what percentage of these are going to fail, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, what percentage of marriages fail anyways? Like half, yeah. right? Yeah.
And how many people stick out a situation that they wouldn't have stuck out if there wasn't this, you know, specter of deportation hanging over their right. head.
Yeah.
Like, Ed is not getting an episode 2 with any other person if there isn't the sense of, okay, I just got to make it through this. It's like the fucking fight in Rocky 3 where Rocky just has to hold on until Mr. T tires himself out and then I fight back. Mm-hmm. And it's like, she's just go, I got to last 3 rounds with this guy. I got to last 3 rounds with this guy. And it just seems like you just go, you know what? The Philippines isn't so bad.
You know what? I could stay here. Well, also, I wonder with her, too, because they get paid to be not a lot, but they get paid to like be on the show.
Of course.
Yeah. So I wonder if she took her money. And then because she opened up a bakery. So I was like, I wonder if that was like, OK, I just have to deal with this and then I can open my bakery, you know, that kind of thing.
I guess it ended up well for her because she got something out of it and she got the ability to make a livelihood. Mm-hmm. And
but she had to be touched by this
well,
guy.
Yeah, but, and, yeah. But that guy got to be humiliated and hated by millions of people.
Oh,
but
my gosh, he's in the top hated. So. Yeah.
But he has to know what people think. I mean, he's got an internet connection somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And if you know you're a villain on a reality show, because it's one thing if you're like a regular, you know, Real Housewife or something, or you're on Duck Dynasty or you're on The Apprentice, where they're going to cut around you being awful because they have a brand they want to sell of you. As a positive figure in some way, something is aspirational about you. You have to go really far. You got to flip tables to be the villain on the show. But these shows want a villain. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. They want a villain. These shows live and breathe off of the fact that some people will do anything when a camera is rolling in front of them.
Honestly, what it brings up to me is, I mean, there's always the idea of like, oh, of course, if someone's being paid, then they're going to be like, well, they're going to put up with a lot of shit. Especially if the potential is, well, I can be on more shows and they'll pay me more and I might be able to spin this off into something that I can make as part of a brand. Like, I get that. I've always been really interested in whether it's usually reality television or the antecedents of reality television, because there's that whole, or a documentary where there's that whole thing where you're in a documentary or a reality TV show and you see that there are some people's faces that are blurred and some people's faces that aren't blurred. And the implication, obviously, is that everyone who had to sign a waiver to be on and the people who didn't sign are blurred or concealed in some way. But sometimes the people who are, this was like the airline thing too.
Yeah.
Sometimes the people who aren't, their faces aren't blurred. Sometimes they even give them their names and they're on camera doing and saying the most ridiculous, stupid shit ever, and yet they sign the release.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's going to be good for me. People will see my point of view. And how do you not know that you are the asshole in the situation, and then it's going to be entirely clear to everyone that you are acting like an idiot? Yeah.
Some people just can't imagine a world where everyone doesn't side with them if they're allowed to yell at a camera.
It's true. Well, one of the things that happens too, and it happened in the most recent season of The Other Way, there was this girl. And she
is the other way prostitution.
No, that the other way is Americans going somewhere else.
Oh,
okay. So I think it was the other way. Maybe it was before the night. Anyway, it was like one of those. There's like constantly like three of them going on at the same time. So she had married this guy, had only been with like this one guy forever. He died of cancer. They have two kids together. Within 6 months, she was with this other guy of like him dying. And everybody's like, girl, you got to get yourself some therapy. You're going way too fast with this guy. And she goes to his country and she is awful to him. Like, she is constantly like complaining about him, comparing him to like, you know, her ex-husband, like very like berating him and stuff. And everybody's like, man, if she's like that on camera, imagine her off camera.
Yeah.
You know?
And sometimes if they want to keep you around and they, I don't know, I wonder, because it's so easy to change the tenor of anything through editing. Because you just imagine how much footage, raw footage there is of almost anybody. And you're like, okay, we have a weekly show. I got to cut this down to, we're probably more than one couple on a show, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's probably like,
around.
Like, how much is a segment for each couple? How much footage on each episode does each couple get?
Oh, it kind of depends. Sometimes there's weeks where you like don't see a couple, or, you know, if there's just like not a lot going on with them, they'll like show up every couple, you know, couple episodes. If they end up breaking up or like, you know, something happens, then they like are like, well, we're done with them for this season, and they don't show up again for the rest of it. I would say maybe like 5 to 10 minutes per segment with them, where they're like having a conversation or they're doing something or they're trying to justify their relationship or, you know, something like that.
So they're really going to cut you down. But the thing is, if you do something repulsive, that's definitely getting on the show.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's that's probably showing the worst of the worst of, you know, the way they're acting.
But I just can't imagine a context you could add that would make Ed okay.
No, absolutely not.
I just, you see this and go, how does anyone tolerate, I mean, let alone romantic, even just platonic day? How does a coworker react to Ed?
They're probably like, oh my God, he's talking again.
It's like early season Dwight Schrute kind of. Mm. It's kind of like unbridled arrogance mixed with this inability to see the world from anything but your very myopic point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine that Is he still on the show? Like, how much did he stay on for?
So he did his 90 day, and then Single Life was the one I was trying to remember. So he was on Single Life. I can't remember if he was on one or two seasons of that, but then he is currently on Last Resort, where him and Liz go and do therapy at a resort. So
this guy has to have a bunch of money. I just, yeah. I can't imagine it. A bunch of money, and they see him and they go, you gotta die of a heart attack soon.
Oh my God, it's coming. It's gotta.
It's like you're putting all your chips on heart attack and hoping that hoping that this pays off. It's just like, he's gonna paw at me and he's gonna be intolerable in person, but I gotta wait this out. I gotta get my green card. I'm gonna get the paper. And it's, I look at that and I just go, I understand why the show would want to keep him around.
Yeah, well, he creates a lot of buzz because everybody's like, get him off the show, you know? And it's like, I kind of agree with them. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of terrible people in that show that I'm just like, actually, I would love to see more of them do that. But
the question, I think this has the same sort of dynamic as professional wrestling. There's a thing in pro wrestling that I've heard referred to as X-Pac heat. So when you're a bad guy wrestler, there's two different ways you can get booed. There's the kind of boo where it's fun. We're all in on it. Oh my God, you're a monster. You're a cartoon monster, and it's fun to boo you because we're caught up in the storyline. We're caught up in the character. You're a bad person. But X-Pac heat is get off the stage heat. It was a wrestler named X-Pac who people just said, get this guy the fuck out of here. He's not cool. Get off the stage. We don't like you. And how do you, as a producer on a show like 90 Day Fiancé, say, like, this guy's good for ratings. People want to watch him because he's intolerable. And you get this emotional rise out of people because you do immediately feel better than this guy.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's a kind where, like, I hate him and I want him off the show. I'd much rather watch some of these other couples. So what kind of heat do you think Ed gets? Do you think it's X-Pac heat where people want him gone?
I think it's X-Pac heat. Like, I cannot think of anybody who actually likes him. Like, another one who's like a big contender in that is this woman, Angela. And a lot of people don't like her. She is abusive. She is terrible. She probably smells like an ashtray. She is like one of the worst people. And I can handle like little bits of her. Sometimes I'm like, okay, that's too much. But man, is she funny. Like, she is just in this, she's on this Last Resort show, and her fiance's name is Michael. He's in, oh man, I can't remember, Nigeria. And so he couldn't be physically there. So they have him on an iPad doing FaceTime. And there are scenes of her screaming at the iPad at him. And it's one of the best things I've ever seen.
I think if you're with somebody like that, the iPad might be preferable. Because, oops,
that's
sorry.
What I wonder.
You're breaking like, up. The battery ran out.
Oh, sorry about that. But yeah, it's just, it's so funny. And she just like, it's mostly her screaming at her phone or like the iPad at him. And he's like, I'm so sorry, Angie.
Oh, like, her poor robot boyfriend.
Oh my God. He seems like a sweetie, but yeah, she's a problem, but I'm okay with her.
But that was the thing definitely with Ed and, was it Rose?
Yeah.
You could see in her eyes what she felt.
Yeah, she was dead inside instantly.
Yeah, yeah, there was something where I'm like, I just go, you're doing the math saying, can I get through this? Mm-hmm. Can I get through this? I just got to get there. I just want a better life for myself.
Yeah. I mean, he was so bad to her. He would even like do, like, she spoke English. Mm-hmm. Like, she was fluent in English, but he would be like, your breath doesn't smell pretty. Like, he said that to her. And I'm just like, she knows you can say like her breath stinks, but also don't say that to her.
Yeah.
Like, it's like even more insulting that you think she doesn't know English. So you're like screaming syllables into her face, thinking that she'll understand better.
But they had a relationship prior to being on the show?
Yeah, it was online.
Oh, man.
Yeah. One last thing. If you're interested, I think Ed has a My Journey on HBO.
Oh, God.
So if you want to see his whole story, you can do that. Would recommend Darcy if you are in that space.
Does Darcy have an OnlyFans account?
Oh, probably, but she doesn't show anything.
Does it?
I guess it is strange to me to think it would make sense that there's like a pipeline into getting people like into Instagram so they could like start monetizing it.
Yeah.
It is a little strange that it's now just going straight to doing cam porn.
I mean,
it's really weird.
I guess it does kind of make sense.
maybe I'm old, but I understand
how
people make money doing OnlyFans. I don't understand how people make money on Instagram.
Oh, they sell things. They sell diet drinks.
Oh. Actually, I'm going to say OnlyFans sounds less shady.
Radio vs. the Martians is hosted by Mike Gillis and Casey Doran. This podcast is recorded in beautiful Valverde in Seattle, Washington. Our chief engineer is Casey Doran, and our editor is Mike Gillis. Our original theme music is written and performed by James Wetzel. Special thanks to Sam Mulvey, Rob Kelly, James Wetzel, Paul Rue, Tobiah Panshin, Scott Kramer, Kyle Hepworth, and Todd Maxfield Matsumoto. Please take the time to rate and review our show on iTunes and Stitcher, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And if you'd like to support the show financially, please consider becoming one of our Patreon subscribers. Even just $1 a month gives you access to exclusive episodes. And you can always find us online at RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
So, I got some surprises for you.
Really?
Can I show you?
Sure.
Don't look. No look, okay? Hope you like. So this goes on top. And then this. So this is for outdoors.
Okay.
The swimming pool. And then... big surprise!
What is that? For...
it's called a Teddy. My dog is named Teddy. This is also called Teddy. Rose and I have only made love once, so being intimate is still quite new for us. But all in all, I think Rose and I have good chemistry. I brought along a couple presents from home, so I think now is the time to give her lingerie. You want to try that on now? Are you nervous?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
When Egg gave me a lingerie, I feel shocked because I don't know how to wear it. Because this is the first time to see it like this.
I got a couple more things.
Sure.
Okay, so this is going to be less romantic. So this is mouthwash. And I got you a cute toothbrush. This, your breath is not pretty. One of the first things I noticed, even at the airport, you know, was her breath, but I didn't know how to bring it up. And I don't think she realizes it, but I do. And then I got you good toothpaste.
Okay.
Do you know that my concern is your health? Because if you get disease in your mouth, it goes to your heart. You can get sick. Do you understand?
I know what you mean, but this is my problem, my stomach, not my teeth.
Oh, really?
I have an ulcer, you know.
Oh, you have an ulcer?
Yeah.
This is the first time you're telling me you have an ulcer.
I always toothbrush.
Okay. So now you tell me, I understand. From my heart, I care about you.
I know. I'm so exalted that I want to give a punch to Ed. And I feel embarrassed. I think Ed is a rude person. If Ed truly loved me, kailangan na lang tanggapin ni Ed kung ano ko,
I love you. I love you.
Pangit mo.
I love you.
Pangit mo.
Does that mean I love you? I hope it means I love you.